All right, so we're starting a new series today. Obviously, it's called Discipline. But at the beginning of every new year, it seems like something kind of stirs inside of us, and we go off and we set goals. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions? One person, two? Okay, cool. All right, so two people. Okay, so at the beginning of the new year, something stirs within two of us. And those two people set goals and make plans, and those two people write resolutions with the sincere hope that this year is going to be different. Because at the beginning of the year, like we're like, okay, I've got to do something different. Like I need healthier habits. I want a stronger faith. I want to build better relationships. I want more peace in my life. I want more rest in my life. And none of those desires are inherently wrong. Like those are all good things, and we should desire and hope for those things. And many of them are good and they honor God. But if we're honest with ourselves, most of our New Year's resolutions end up failing. And the question is, why? Like, why do those New Year's resolutions, every year it comes around, and I will say, last year I went way further with my New Year's resolution than I had ever gone before. What did I make it till, like, maybe July, August? It was at least maybe, it was close to my birthday, where I did really good. I had really good eating habits. I'd lost some weight, and I was, like, really proud of myself. And then it was just like, it's my birthday. And then it's like, it's Ryland's birthday. And then it was like, it's Thanksgiving, it's Christmas. And so then it just fell off the bandwagon, right? But eventually, your New Year's resolutions, they fail. But they don't fail because we don't care. They fail because we try to push through with our own strength and our own willpower and our own grit and our own determination. We're like, I got this. I can do this. Like, it's all on me. But the Bible never presents transformation as something that we have to force through our own determination alone. Instead, Scripture consistently describes change as something that grows with inside of us. So, for example, in Acts 2, 42, right? So in Acts, we're talking about the early church and what the early church looked like, what the early church did together, what was happening in this moment. And so what it says is that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had it in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and rejoicing the favor of all of the people, and the Lord added to their numbers daily who were being saved. So this is the early church. Notice what they didn't do. What didn't say that they pushed through their own grit and determination and made their own goals happen, or their own, they achieved their own goals all on their own by pulling their bootstraps up and making it happen, right? It says that the believers did things together. Why do you think they did them together? Well, if you're doing things together, if you're breaking bread together, if you're spending time together, if you're selling your possessions so that you can get others out of debt, if you're doing all of these things on a daily basis together, you're continuing to grow together. So it's not just about, like, if your goal this year is like, oh, okay, well, Carrie and I really want to get out of debt this year. That's not really a goal we've set, but I'm just giving you an example. We want to get out of debt this year, right? And so it's like, yay, let's save up a bunch of money, and we're going to eat tuna cans and peanut butter for the next year every meal so that we can save money, right? We're not going to eat anything else. We're going to buy expensive stuff. We're not going to go out to eat. She's making faces at you. Yeah. So we're going to do this, right? And so, like, at the end of the year, we look back and we're like, woo, like, we saved, like, $5,000 by just eating tuna fish. But it's like, But it's like, what if, like, the church, like, everybody was like, hey, Matt and Carrie wanted to get out of the debt this year. Hey, I'm already out of debt. Let's help them get out of debt. Let's help them get, right? Like, that's what this, the early church is doing, is they're meeting each other's needs. They're setting goals for one another. They're accountability partners to one another. Like, this is what's happening in the early church. So no wonder that they're adding to their numbers daily, those that are being saved. Why? Because other people are looking at the system and saying, that works. Right? Like, we've tried all these other systems and these processes and these styles of learning and teaching and growing, whatever, but that works. Like, that could actually work for me too. And so there's people getting excited about the early church and desiring to grow and to change and to become something new. So this is what the early church did. And if you notice, they said that there were people being added daily to the church. That presents a problem, doesn't it? Because you've got some people that have been involved in this church for quite some time, and they have an understanding of what the Word of God is, or they have an understanding of what they're supposed to be doing, but then you've got newbies coming up underneath, right? And so that's why it's so important for them to grow together, is because now they're becoming more spiritually disciplined, which allows them to bring somebody up underneath them and teach them and help them grow who doesn't have as much knowledge in God as they do. It took a lot of people rooted in their faith to produce fruit that allowed new followers to desire that same sort of spiritual discipline that each of them had, and then lead that person to becoming a rooted follower in Christ. Psalms describes it as someone who has achieved a level of discipline much like those from the early church. Psalms 1:1-3 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, but who delights in the law of the Lord. That person is like a tree planted by the stream of water, which yields fruit in all seasons, and whose leaf does not wither. So in this, we have this image, and it's an image of a tree, and it's by this stream of living water, and this tree does not strain to produce fruit, and that fruit is the result of being planted in the right place, because healthy roots lead to lasting growth in all seasons of life.
So this is a little off. But, I mean, one of our core values is discipleship, and discipleship is a form of discipline. It's a way of learning and growing, and we believe here that discipleship really only happens through relationship. Outside of relationship, it's a program, it's a system, it's, like, curriculum. And that's not true discipleship. Discipleship happens in proximity to the person that you are growing with and learning from. And it's important when you think about, like, with this scripture, I just want to, like, ask the question, who are you planted by? Are you planted near someone who is providing metaphorically streams of living water and instruction and an example in your life, or are you planted by yourself? Who are you walking with, and who's walking with you? And that's something to be thinking about as you go into this next, you know, season, this next year of life, is not only who are you learning from, but who are you teaching? Who you have a relationship that you're both gaining and giving to. So I was thinking about that scripture a little bit differently when you read it, because it's important to consider, like, it is impossible to do life alone, to do it well, to thrive. So who are you planted by? Like, who are you connected to? Who's feeding into you? And also, like, who are you feeding into? Because everyone is uniquely positioned to both teach and learn. So that's a little off.
No, it's not off, because you're talking about the peach trees here in Clarksville. If you go up to Peach Pickin' Paradise, every 7 years, they rotate their fields. And they go to a completely different field. So, like, if you noticed this year, if you went at all, there's the old field, which they still have some trees in, but those trees are getting old and starting to wither. But then they have the new fields as well, and the new fields are up on the hill. And those are, like, brand new trees, and they're producing tons of fruit. And it's because those trees only last so long. But the reason they rotate the fields and they don't just bulldoze and go on to no one is because some of those trees could have root rot. And if one tree has root rot, then it could pass that rot on to other trees that are in that same field. So every 7 years when they cycle those trees and they get rid of those trees, they actually have to get rid of the roots and everything so that that soil has time to heal, to get those roots. Yeah, it's Jubilee, right? So it's like this chance for the trees to heal. And so, like, that's what I think that's what you're getting at is that, like, who you're planted next to, if your roots are going down deep, even if your roots are deep and you're planted next to somebody that has root rot, then you can get that same root rot from somebody who's standing next to you. So that's really good. So that's what we're doing in this series. So this series is called Discipline. We're going to be talking about three specific disciplines that we wanted to talk about through this series. Your spiritual discipline, your mental discipline, and your physical discipline. And so I was thinking about this the other day while I was fishing, and I was thinking about these kind of three disciplines and how every single one of us in this room are probably more disciplined in one specific area of those three than the others. And so, for example, I'm obviously way disciplined in physical health. I mean, so disciplined. No, just kidding. But there are people in this room that are disciplined in that area, and I think that's wonderful, and I can learn a lot from whoever that is in this room. Kayla and Kathy, I can learn a lot from Kayla about physical disciplines, right? And you can teach me how to become more physically disciplined, but there's maybe something that I'm more disciplined in than some of you who are physically disciplined, and I could teach you. And it's this idea that the early church, I think, got right of, like, the apostles are teaching, but then they're meeting together daily and going in together to have this conversation around discipline and being accountability partners to one another so that it's like, oh, you're really physically fit, and so I want to be physically fit, and so, like, how do I do that? Oh, you're really spiritually fit. I want to be spiritually fit. How do I do that? Oh, you're like, mentally, you're just so strong, and, like, how do you, like, you've sharpened your mind, and you're so intelligent. Like, what book should I read, you know? And so it's this idea of, like, coming together and learning how to just be disciplined in our minds and our bodies and our souls. And this isn't a negative connotation of discipline, right? Because we think of discipline, sometimes we think of, like, you know, the Catholic nun in the school teeth, like, slapping your wrist with the ruler. Yeah, with the ruler. Like, discipline. It's not that kind of discipline. It's discipline that we find through God. And so today's kind of a bit of a little intro message. But I want us to start to think a little differently about how we get a fresh start this year. So instead of asking questions like, what do I need to fix about myself this year, we could ask the better question of, what am I rooted in?
Yeah, and there's something I want to point out, because he didn't actually say this, but in his notes here, Matt has the series will explore how God forms discipline in our minds, bodies, and souls, not through pressure, but through presence. And that comes back to the idea of, like, relational discipline, because it's the people that you're doing life with. I know that if you are, like, you have connections with people who are improving in one area, then even if they're not, like, pressuring you to do it also, you just kind of go along with it sometimes. I know, like, I eat better when he eats better. No pressure, just presence.
It's going to happen. I got a whole plan.
But, like, when you have someone, you know, when we're both thinking, like, we're gonna do better and stuff, when I feel like, hey, I think that we need to go for a walk, or let's go hiking, let's do something active, then even if he's not feeling like it, then, you know, he'll be like, okay, yeah, let's do this. And it's not so much pressure, it's just being in proximity and growing. And more than likely, it's him that's saying, like, hey, like, get off the couch, close your computer, put on some real clothes, and, like, let's go for a walk. That's usually more of what happens. But I know that, like, for example, like, Liam is very active. He loves to be outside, and he likes to play, and he's always wanting someone to play with. And that's healthy for us, not just because, you know, we feel guilted constantly into playing with him, but because in that proximity, in his presence, because that's something that he loves, we want to do it with him, and so we get better with him because of that.
Yeah, and Jesus uses, like, this imagery of this tree and this coming together and, like, picking where you're planted and being next to the stream of water, and he uses it again in John 15, 4 and 5. It says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. So even if you wanted to bear fruit on your own, even if you wanted to accomplish all of your fitness and wellness goals on your own, even if you wanted to do all of this by yourself for whatever odd reason that you wanted to do it by yourself, you can't. Jesus said it. He said it. You can't. What? That's right. That's right. Yeah, because Jesus never says, try harder on your own. He doesn't say, if you just push a little bit harder. He says, remain. Because our transformation comes from connection, not just phrases like no pain, no gain. I heard someone say that the other day. Oh, it was our neighbor. We had like a herd of children at my house for whatever reason, which is fine. It happens often. And one of them decided to try Ryland's hoverboard in the street on the pavement and fell and hit his elbow and scraped it up pretty good. And my neighbor yelled at him, get up, boy, no pain, no gain, or something like that, you know. Spit on it, put a little dirt on it. And I was like, I think he's seriously injured, neighbor person. Thank you, though. He was fine, by the way, scraped elbow. We took care of him. Liam took care of him. But too often we try to resolve our own way into new life, and we don't allow God to root us into a good life. But Colossians 2 reminds us of a proper order. Do you want to read this one?
So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. So roots come before the fruit. From the beginning of Scripture, God's shown us this pattern. In Genesis, the tree of life stood at the center of the garden, and it was a symbol of ongoing dependence on God as the source of life. And then the final pages of Scripture, we return to that same image. In Revelation 22, verse 2, it says, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. One thing I've always thought was kind of cool about this is it says on each side of the river stood the tree of life. That's a big tree, I'm just saying. But from beginning to end, life is not found in self-effort, but abiding with God. It's about sitting in the shade of the right tree. It's all the metaphors are going to come out in the series, I think. So once again, like, we're not resolving here to just be better people. We're not just trying to, like, make this a year worth remembering. It's a year of trying to learn how to better root ourselves more deeply in Christ, to root ourselves in God's character by understanding him better. And as we do, God's promises will do the transforming work that we can't do on our own. Like, we can't transform ourselves. We can't transform others. But we can yield. We can surrender. We can make room for Him to move, for Him to be able to do what we can't do on our own. So what's the next few weeks going to look like?
So as you were talking, it was like, if they ever made a movie that was like the entirety of the Bible, which would be a super long movie, be like the beginning scene and the end scene would both be like this tree. It was like the zoom in on this tree, and then you like zoom out on the tree. It's like this whole like, and it's like I could see like life happening under the tree like constantly. And then like at the very end of the movie, you realize the tree's like the whole earth. It just like zooms out. It's like a tree. Anyways, sorry. So the next few weeks. So we're going to be talking about being disciplined. And so we're going to talk about our how we discipline our minds, how we sharpen our minds. We're going to talk about how to have better physical discipline, so through our body. I won't be teaching that one. And then we're talking about our soul and how our soul could be disciplined. And so why these three things? So Carrie made a graphic for you because that's what she does really well. And so she's going to explain this graphic and tell you why we're doing those three things.
So for the past couple of years, we've talked about the three-legged stool and about how like it takes balance to be able to grow, and it's based on the Trinity. But as I was thinking, I was going to just kind of use that image again and kind of recap it. But then after reading through like these scriptures and stuff, I was like, you know, there's a lot more to it than that, because stools are inanimate objects and we are not. We need to grow. We need to produce. So you guys know I like trees. So I started thinking through what this kind of looks like. And after kind of talking it through with Rylan, it started making a little bit more sense to me too. You know how kids like give you clarity sometimes? And anyways, it's the whole thing. So like we are the tree. And in my class, like we do a semester long project where we use the tree metaphor as a source of growth, of understanding what we're in. So you got to start from the bottom, right? Like you got to start from the roots. So our roots we need to go deep into God. This is discipleship. This is our knowledge. This is the shaping of our minds. This is where we form our identity. This is where we learn who we are and who we were meant to be. And it builds our theological character. And then growing up out of the roots is the trunk, the core of your character, the core of who you are that holds everything together. And that's our body. And our bodies are formed within community. You know, we're going to go deeper into these each week, but you know, we are the body. Each piece of us forms the body of Christ. But then on an individual thing, like we also, like our body is for the service and for the purpose of God. So this is represented Trinitarian-wise in Jesus. He was the physical embodiment of God on earth. And he taught us how to be disciplined in every aspect. He taught us how to live. And this is our calling of teaching, taking the lessons that Jesus taught us, applying them, and then passing that on. This is our calling. This is our purpose. And this is very intentional formation. And then we move up to the branches, which is represented by the Holy Spirit. This is our soul. And as we go out into the world, as we branch out into the world around us, we are meant to do so generously. We are meant to do so with a spirit of kindness toward others, growing up and out, loving God, loving others. And that's fueled by the Spirit. And these are our giftings. It's expressed through our giftings that was given to us by the Spirit. And this is adaptive growth. Branches don't pop out of the tree in a straight line and never change course. The wind blows. There are things that shape it. We have a tree in our backyard that we had a slack line, little ninja rope course on, and we left it on there too long. And so now there's like a little indention in it. It adapted. The tree continued to grow, and it was slow, intentional growth that we didn't see until we took the band off, and now we can see how much it grew around it. It adapted around it. So if a branch breaks off, the tree doesn't die. It adapts. It grows in a different direction. It moves on. So this is kind of the imagery that we're going to be kind of using over the next few weeks and applying to our lives.
Yeah, and I think you can see through that kind of how all of these three things, they have to work simultaneously and they have to work together, because I can't tell you how many times I've been out and I've been trying to like force myself to do something physically, and then like I lose a little bit of mental health because I'm like pushing myself so hard physically to do the physical thing, right? And I want to prove this. So show of hands, and I'm gonna do this too. How many of you have had poor mental health because of your poor physical health? Yeah, like all of us, right? How many of you have had poor spiritual health because of your poor mental health? How many of you have had poor physical health because of your poor mental health? How many of you have had improved mental health because of your improved physical health? How many of you have had improved physical health because of your improved mental health? How many of you have had improved mental health because of your improved spiritual health? Yeah, I think that's all of us. And I definitely raised my hand on every single one of those, right? Because it all works together. There's nothing separate about our mind and our body and our spirit. It all works together in unity when we're talking about discipline. And so I don't think it's ever possible for us to only improve one area of your life without it positively affecting other areas of your life as well. And then I think the same is true in reverse.
So we think about like who God is. God is not one part, but he is three in one. And we are created in his image. So I think it's important to consider that we are more than just one part of who we are. Did that make sense? Okay. It's because we have the Trinity. We have God, Jesus, and the Spirit all working together, which is all one, but is expressed and seen and acts differently. And we're very similar as humans. We are designed mind, body, and soul. And so we are kind of three parts, but one. And they all work together. They're all connected. And it's because we are made in that image, in that Trinitarian image.
Yeah. And so through this series, we hope that we can all learn how to become rooted and not just resolved. That we can learn how to root ourselves in this discipline and not just make empty resolutions that we can't keep in the long run, right? Not just of our own doing, our understanding, but through the work that God is going to do and will do in and through your life if you'll allow him to do it. Because in Philippians 1-6, he says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." And we used to do a song. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Oh, okay. Sorry. It was a good one. Thank you, Shauna. Yeah. Anyways. Do you want to pray us out? Okay. I want to pray now. And then you can tell me the joke. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for who you are and what you mean in our lives, God. And so many times, God, this year, this past year, I took you for granted, and so many times, God, I would just turn a blind eye to a certain discipline in my life, whether it was a spiritual discipline, a mental discipline, or a physical discipline. And God, you know my heart, you know my spirit, you know, God, what it is that needs to happen, God, and you urge me to continue in those correct disciplines. God, you know the things that I need to be doing. You know my heart, God, you know my mind. So today I pray, God, that in each and every one of us, God, that you would just begin to stir that renewal in us. God, that you would begin to stir our minds again to be able to think about the what ifs if we were able to strengthen our bodies, our minds, and our souls. God, the what ifs, the things that you might accomplish in and through us if we were stronger, if we had grown better, God, if we had continued to be on the path that you had called us to be on from the very beginning. So today, God, I know that each and every one of us, we struggle with at least one, if not multiple, of these areas in our lives. God, I know I struggle with all three. So God, I pray today that as we go through this series today and through the rest of this month, God, that you would begin to reveal in our hearts and our minds those roadblocks, those things that stop us from continuing to be more disciplined in any one of these areas. God, we pray that you would begin to remove those roadblocks and those things in our minds and our spirits, God, that would prevent us from hearing the words that we need to hear so that we can move past some of those things, God. Reveal to us, God, through this season and through this series, people around us, God, that we can trust, people around us that we can talk to, that can help us walk through some of these difficult situations that we may face, so that we can become more rooted in the foundations of what you've called us to. That we can be rooted in our faith to the point where, God, other people outside of this organization will look at Project Community, Project Church, and our lives and the things that you're doing in and through us, God, and say, I want to be a part of something like that. I want to be a part of something bigger. So help us, God, to be all that you've called us to be. And on the other end, God, we're going to be so much better off, and we're going to thank you and praise you because you are holy, God, and you are the only one who can do this in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. We love you, God. Thank you for a new year. And it's all these things we ask in your holy and precious name. Amen.